The Monty Show, Wednesday, September 12th, 2018. Hi, Jake.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, yeah, we have got a jam-packed show. As always, a lot of NFL today. I'm going to give you the five best teams and the five worst teams in the NFL. We have got new starting quarterbacks. And in the headlines, it's pretty clear that, quarterbacks are important in this league, so we'll talk about that. We've got a ton of baseball. There's NBA news. Hello, it's September 12th, and there's NBA news. I'm probably a little too much of an NBA fan, but I'm excited about that. Apple released all their new phone information today. And my favorite burger is America's favorite burger, which I am very happy about.
So 100%.
We have all that coming up. You'd know every one of these stories if you followed me on Twitter, The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show is where you find me on Twitter. You can also find me at themontyshow.com. You can find our podcast. And I think I say this once or twice a week. Somebody again on Twitter today, Steve Salazar on Twitter today, asked me how much the podcast costs to subscribe to. The podcast is free. Today, yesterday, tomorrow, every day for the rest of our freaking podcasting lives, The Monty Show will always be free. Is that a thing, like, where you have to pay to subscribe?
I really don't know. Like, I hear about Joe Rogan's podcast all the time, and it never crosses my mind, well, do you have to pay for that? It's a podcast. Why would I pay for it?
Yeah, I don't, like I said, I only know of one, which is the Steve Dahl Show in Chicago, but now he's on WLS in Chicago, so I stream his show.
Yeah.
But yeah, of course our show is free. You can find it wherever you get your podcast from, so iTunes, Google Play, obviously iHeartRadio is a big one for us, SoundCloud, Stitcher, anywhere you are getting your podcast from. Somebody asked me about Podbean, Podcaster, yes, like all of those big sites carry The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. Let's start with football. I'm going to start with football. And I'm tempted because, again, this is a third night in a row where the Cubs are on TV.
It's a problem, let's be honest. When the Cubs are on TV, it's a problem.
It does. And I think that this series is huge. Massive series. But let's start with the NFL. I don't like power rankings. Ugh. But I did put together a list today of the top five teams and the bottom five teams in the NFL. And I'm curious, Jake, if you will agree with me. Jake has not seen, by the way, these teams in their ranked orders. He has no idea which are my top five and which are my bottom five, but it's not rocket science.
Yeah.
The fifth best team in the NFL, I think, is the Kansas City Chiefs. With what Mahomes did, I thought he was great. Tyreek Hill was the weapon that you expected him to be. And on defense, they got great performances out of Dee Ford and Anthony Hitchens. You know, you get Mahomes in his first start. He's the AFC Offensive Player of the Week. Like, I really like them now as one of the premier teams in the National Football League.
Yeah, I think their whole season will be hinged on Mahomes. I think if he can come out and perform and not turn the football over and make good decisions consistently, they will be fine. Their defense is good enough to hang in there with anybody. You have Tyreek Hill, who you use the best word. He's an absolute weapon. At any time, he can burn you.
Yep.
And when you have that threat, that changes things. So, again, I just say they're good all around. Mahomes is the only question.
I agree. Number four, the Philadelphia Eagles are the fourth best team. And the key there, obviously, you know, when you're without your starting quarterback, you're going to sputter a little bit. But I think Foles is good enough to kind of get them through.
Yes.
So we'll see what happens there. But I like the way Jay Ajayi's running the football right now. He's becoming more than just a put your head down and run a guy over. He's actually able to catch the ball now. He's actually able to play three downs, which I think is really important.
Well, I think running backs in this league know that they can't just be a run-you-over kind of guy anymore. I mean, you're not going to see the field if that's all you are. You got to be able to catch the football. Like, it's that simple.
When I say Philadelphia Eagles, do you believe that they are a Super Bowl contending team again?
I don't think they are right now, but I think you get to week eight, you get to week nine, you get to the middle of the season, and you really know what you have. You know where this team is at. Guys like Ajayi are proving themselves week after week, and you can count on a guy like that. And then, for them, obviously, you have Wentz. I don't buy that Wentz is going to come back and just light the world on
fire.
Well,
they're talking about him starting week three, and I would be surprised if that were the case. Because again, today, Doug said that he was not medically cleared for contact.
I just don't know why you would rush him. And I like that they're not rushing him, but again, this is the whole thing where we got to put deadlines on everything, right? So when is Carson back? When is Carson back? When is Baker going to play? When is Yu Darvish going to pitch? Like, I don't know, like, why we have to put deadlines on everything. So when October 7th gets here and they play the Vikings, a really good defense, when you need Carson Wentz's mobility, because that's, let's be honest, that's the biggest thing, right? Like, Carson Wentz has a good arm, but that's the biggest, like, differentiator between Foles and Wentz.
Carson Wentz is an elite quarterback. Yeah. I feel like Foles is more of he was great in the playoffs in the Super Bowl.
He got hot on that. But what, regular Foles is serviceable.
Yes, correct.
Okay, here's a comparison. Nick Foles or Fitzpatrick for the Bucs? Because they're largely the same role.
Today, I'd probably take Fitzpatrick after what he did over the weekend.
Number one fantasy player? I'll take
Come
it.
Come on. But Foles, I think, is their guy.
Yeah.
But I think your best point there is October 7th against Minnesota, because until then, yeah, you play two or three on the road, but it's Tampa, home for Indianapolis, at Tennessee. Why would you rush Carson Wentz under any circumstance here? It just doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, and things don't get real till you play the Vikings, because then you get the Giants, who, you know, some people like. I think Carolina's a solid team, and then obviously you have the Jags.
Yeah.
You know, so you get, once you get past this string of, you know, the Bucs, Indy, and Tennessee, the schedule gets real.
Yep. Number three in the NFL really is 2A, and it's the New England Patriots. They delivered on what expectations were. Brady and Gronk were unbelievable. And by the way, Tom Brady had his 119th career game with 10 passes and a rating of 100 plus. That's an all-time record in the NFL. By the way, in those games where he has 10 passes and he rates over 100, they're 112-7.
Yeah.
112 wins versus 7 losses.
Yeah.
When Brady has 10 passes and 100 plus rating.
Well, and it's not even, you think to yourself, well, 10 passes, 10 completions in over 100. I mean, I don't even think it seems like that's not a lot to ask, but then you consider how long he's been doing it in that record you just listed off, 112-7, and I'm just sitting here saying to myself, this guy's ridiculous, you know, and we had a huge fight about this, and I'm just saying these are the kind of numbers he's putting up.
Yeah.
Then you look at the schedule, just like we did before. You know, you had the Texans, and now you're going to get the Jags.
At
the Jags. And for me, I kind of don't worry about the home versus road thing when it's Brady, because he's going to lead that bunch either way.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you'd like to be, you know, at home, but I would still take them to beat the Jags.
And what's the weather going to be like in Jacksonville with, you know, Hurricane Florence will have come and gone at that point? So you're probably going to be very wet in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Jacksonville, you need it to be the worst case scenario, like worst conditions possible.
Yeah, I would think so. But so I like Brady and Gronk. That defense is pretty good as well. So I think the Patriots are 2A. Number two team in the NFL right now, the Los Angeles Rams of St. Louis. Goff and Gurley delivered. You know, Peters in that secondary, I loved, and I don't know what you thought of this, but Peters doing the Marshawn Lynch crotch grab as he jumped into the end zone, I thought was hysterical. But the LA Rams, I mean, they beat the hell out of the Raiders in the second half. I love Todd Gurley. I really like Jared Goff, who you drafted as your backup quarterback.
Yeah, yeah.
I really like what Goff is doing right now. There's not a lot to dislike about the Rams.
Yeah, I'm a big Goff guy myself. I like him. I think he's a solid quarterback. I think he's still got room for improvement, of course, because he's so young. But I think with where they're at as an organization, you look at the youth, and that was the trend last year. Well, young head coach, young quarterback, young running back, like all this youth. And I think now that they've got that first season under them, they're in a really good place. And I think people who are hating on Gurley for not having more touchdowns last week, I'm just sitting here saying that guy is a workhorse. First, second, and third down, he can catch the football. He can do everything for you. So I don't know what you're complaining about.
And he set up most of their scoring anyways. Yeah. And by the way, their schedule the first 3 weeks out is the Raiders, who they stomped, Arizona and Los Angeles, the Chargers. Those are both home games, and then boy, the Vikings don't have an easy schedule, because the Vikings come to Los Angeles in September. You know, I mean, this Rams team, the only thing that I see with this Rams team is a week 12 bye, which is a little bit late for my liking. I'm a huge fan of 6, 7, or 8. for your bye, but 12 is a long time to go. But again, there's not a lot to like or dislike about this Rams team, but they're not number one because there's nothing to hate about the Vikings, who are, in my opinion, the best team in the NFL right now. When you look at Cousins, Dalvin Cook, you know, Diggs doing what he does, I mean, that offense is going to be prolific. And then you get four turnovers, and you have a guy like Harrison Smith, who's this week's defensive player of the week.
Just a baller, dude.
Right. I, you know, there's nothing that really gives you pause about that Vikings team. And I know we've talked about this a lot in the last couple of shows, but I love Kirk Cousins in that offense. I really like what they're doing. I don't think we've said enough about Harrison Smith. I think this guy is truly... You are watching somebody blossoming right before your eyes, and nobody talks about him.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there is not a lot of big-time safety play in this league right now, but if there is the best safety in football, I don't know how it's not Harrison Smith. And he's got a chance. If he can stay healthy, which is a big question because he plays in the box, he plays in the backfield, and a lot of those guys wind up getting hurt. But if he can stay healthy, this is a guy that's on track to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And I think for the Vikings, I'm super excited about this matchup with the Packers. I think it's going to be a true test. I think, you know, talking about it at work today, everybody said, oh, it's Aaron Rodgers, it's the Packers. And I just say, bro, it's Kirk Cousins and the Vikings. Like, I don't care who you – like, I don't care if you're at Lambeau, if you're at, you know, Hawaii. Like, Kirk Cousins is going to light you up. And everybody was saying, well, look at what the Packers did in the second half against the Bears. Look at what Aaron Rodgers was able to do. And I just say to that, Aaron Rodgers is going to do that against anybody. But the difference is Aaron Rodgers would have never had that opportunity had the ball been caught. And the Vikings catch that football.
But let's be real. It was the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
They won that first half based on energy from the Khalil Mack, Roquan Smith performances. And then you came out in the second half, and Khalil Mack was out of gas.
Yeah.
And that defense got tired.
And that's that football shape we talked about. He's not in football shape yet.
And by the way, that secondary is very suspect. It's the Chicago Bears. They're a developmental team right now. This is the Minnesota Vikings. And again, I just ranked them number one in the NFL. I think that this is one of the best defenses in the NFL. I think you have one of the better secondaries in the NFL. I think you have one of the best offenses in the NFL. So you have a real question mark offensively with the Bears? No, friends. This Viking team gets the football down the field. This Viking team with Dalvin Cook now can run the football in multiple sets out of in any down and distance. They can get the ball to Dalvin. Like, there's, again, versatility, you know, ability to run and go fast, ability to slow down and run the clock. Like, there's nothing the Viking offense can't do. There's a whole lot that the Bears offense can't do. And I know a lot of people talk about the Fuller dropped interception, me being one of them, right? The absolute meltdown I had in my home on Sunday where somebody called the SWAT team because they were worried about what was happening in my
house.
Oh, I was
screaming. I was so mad, dude.
We were both screaming.
We both saw that. I literally, like, I think I threw my hat on the ground. I mean, it was ridiculous. Yeah.
But anyways, I joke. But I get that Bears defense let everybody down. They lost that game because the offense couldn't execute.
Yeah.
Because Mitch Trubisky went dark. That's not going to happen with Kirk Cousins and this Viking team because they're the best team in the NFL right now. The flip side of that is the worst five teams in the NFL. Number 28, the Titans. I don't know what to say about the quarterback situation in Tennessee. And really, their defense now has a lot of questions. You're without one of, you know, your best options because they lost their tight end there.
Yep.
The Titans are in trouble, and a lot of it is because Lewin's hurt on the offensive line and Mariota's hurt in the quarterbacks.
And they're saying he's going to play, but come on. Like, there's no chance he's going to be 100%.
With an
and
elbow injury?
That. Like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
There's no chance. Like, you're putting him out there because you need some morale. Like, that's literally why you're playing him.
Yeah, so I think they're the fifth worst team. I think right behind them, the fourth worst team is going to be the Detroit Lions because that defense was terrible. And I don't know what you make of Matt Patricia, but again, I say the Bill Belichick coaching tree failing in the National Football League. And I know it's one game, but everybody talking about how bad the culture is in that locker room and how hard Matt Patricia was on the players during training camp, and that he was trying to be very Bill Belichick and the players didn't respect him.
He's not Bill Belichick.
Well, that's a huge problem. That makes them the fourth worst team in the National Football League. The third worst team is John Gruden and the Oakland, soon to be Las Vegas Raiders. And it's another common theme. We had Titans with a quarterback issue. We had the Lions with Matt Stafford playing terrible. The Raiders are talking about moving on from Derek Carr after this season, which I think is a farce. But they had quarterback issues, and frankly, they didn't have a pass rush to speak of. And the Raiders are just a team that's listing right now. They don't have an identity. The second worst team in the NFL, the Arizona Cardinals. There's a theme here because Bradford was very average and they don't have great quarterback play. They don't have wide receivers. And I don't know how you can continue, to talk about the construct of this team, the way it's built, and not fire the general manager at some point.
Yeah, you just have nowhere to go. That's the problem. You haven't had anywhere to go. I mean, last year it was David Johnson, and or 2 years ago it was David Johnson. Last year it was AP. Like, I just don't understand what the fundamental guys are on this team. What are the core? What's the core of this team? I don't know, and that's a problem.
Do they get better? I don't see any way for the Cardinals to improve because they just don't have depth or talent. When you don't have speed on the outside in this league, you are dead in the water. Why are the Raiders talking about Amari Cooper needing the ball more? Because he's a burner. And in Arizona, they don't have that guy. And here's the real team. The worst team in the NFL right now, in my opinion, is the Buffalo Bills. Sorry, Bills Mafia. The Buffalo Bills are not a good team. Announced today that Josh Allen's the new starting quarterback. Even though they don't have an offensive line, he's going to be running for his life. The defense is going to be on the field for a good chunk of that game. The Buffalo Bills are a bad team amongst bad teams.
Yeah, man.
So I think it's the five worst teams are the Titans, Lions, Raiders, Cardinals, and Bills. The five best teams are the Chiefs, Eagles, Patriots, Rams, and, of course, the best team is the Minnesota Vikings. A couple other NFL notes for you. As I mentioned, the defensive and offensive players of the week in the AFC, the defensive player of the week is T.J. Watt.
What?
J.J. Watt's brother. T.J. Watt for the Pittsburgh Steelers is the AFC Defensive Player of the Week, and I think he earned it, obviously, with the blocked field goals and the tackles for loss, the multiple sacks. I think he absolutely earned that honor. The AFC Offensive Player of the Week, as I mentioned, was Patrick Mahomes, which is not surprising because, boy, I think he played really, really well. Ryan Fitzpatrick is the NFC Offensive Player of the Week. We talked about it, the number one fantasy quarterback.
I'm picking against him this week again. And I hope it doesn't burn me.
Are you going to play Deshaun?
I got to think about it still.
I think so. It's early. It's Wednesday.
Yeah, it's Wednesday. Give me some slack here.
Fitzpatrick, the NFC Offensive Player of the Week. And as I mentioned, Harrison Smith, the NFC Defensive Player of the Week. And finally, there's an Aaron Rodgers update.
Oh, boy.
This may well be Paul Pierce in the wheelchair.
I'm telling you, that's what I was thinking the whole time.
Well, you said that yesterday on the show, and it went ding, like a big bright light went off in my pea-sized brain to make me think, yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because today he says, I'm fine, it was a minor sprain. Well, then why the cart and the tears?
Why the wheelchair?
Yeah, why Aaron Rodgers is dead on the field. Like, they're trying to put, like, the electric pads on his heart to revive him and shock him back to life. Like the world stopped spinning.
I do have to agree, though. I did see some news about him being absolutely off his rocker chair in the post-game interview.
He was.
That dude was high.
But he claims he does not take painkillers.
Okay, sure, and
he
don't.
And he said, I didn't take any painkillers at half because I don't like them. He says that it's a minor sprain and he will be fine for the Viking game.
Oh, I'm sure he will be fine.
You better be fine, because if he's anything less than fine, they're getting that ass whooped, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I think they're going to, no matter what Aaron Rodgers does, I think the Vikings are going to win that game. But Aaron Rodgers says he's fine, it was a minor sprain, and he's going to move on and be cool. So,
chill.
Yeah. What, you know, I admittedly am a Packer hater.
For sure.
I am worn out on how great, like, there must have been 10, 12 tweets, and I'm not even exaggerating, that compared Aaron Rodgers to Jesus in some form or fashion. He walked on water. He turned.
Well, listen, I mean, he did throw the ball without any feet on the ground. So, I mean, you know.
Well, he levitated. You know, hey, I get it. I just am worn out on it. I'm worn out on how great Aaron Rodgers is. Truly, honestly, I'm freaking worn out on it. So, whatever. Go Vikings. I'll move on. I know that's probably bitter. But, boy, that is frustrating. I want to talk some Major League Baseball because I am watching the Cubs locked in a 2-1 battle on the wrong end of a 2-1 battle with the Milwaukee Brewers, Brat Stop and Kenosha. I don't know why I said that, but the Brewers are up 2-1 in the bottom of the seventh at Wrigley Field tonight. And this is one of those games that is incredibly significant because if the Brewers leave Wrigley Field with a win tonight, you feel like this division is, again, truly up for grabs. And the Cubs right now have a two-game lead at Milwaukee. You have a chance to leave here with a three-game lead if you're the Cubs.
Big difference.
Well, there's also a schedule problem. Because right now, the Cubs are supposed to get on a plane, and they're only going to take 20-ish, 18 to 20 guys with them to Washington. They're going to leave all of their starters home. They're starting pitchers home. And I don't remember who's scheduled to start for the Cubs tomorrow. I want to say that it was supposed to be, was it Hamels? I don't remember. Anyway, they're going to take their starting pitcher. They're going to take a handful of relievers. And they're going to go to Washington and attempt. I say attempt. Mike Montgomery is going to make that start. Attempt to play a game against the Nationals. There is 100% chance of rain in Washington at the time of the taping of this podcast. They're going to get rained out in Washington again. And the Cubs are saying, hey, we don't want to play this game. We do not want to play this game. The good news is Major League Baseball allowed them to change the Friday game from a 1:05 to a 7:05 so that they can have a little more rest on the way back. I don't know why the Cubs are going to Washington tomorrow because there's a real good chance they're not going to play that game. Real good chance they're not playing that
game. Yeah, I mean, I agree with their logic, you know, leaving some of your pitchers home. I think it's risky, especially with Montgomery on the mound. I mean, not that I'm a Montgomery guy. I like what he's given him this year. But I think, you know, either way, I mean, he's not giving you more than six. And you just know that when he goes out there. So, I don't know. That's a little sketch to me. But I think I agree. They shouldn't be playing the game. I don't know why we're playing the game. I like that they were able to move that game back a little bit to 7:05. I think that's huge.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. Tonight's game is a massive deal. I think if you can get out of this series up three games, it gives you breathing room to lose again.
Yeah.
You know, because you know you're going to lose again and the Brewers are going to win again. You know that's going to happen. But I've been saying for a little while now, I think they're going to win the division by less than two games.
Who has the letdown after this series? Because I think Milwaukee is a team, and bless them, Milwaukee's a team that has shown the propensity to lose 3-4 in a row.
Yeah.
At bad times, like they did to the Cubs and Cardinals. At bad times. And they're going home to play Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. And Pittsburgh is a scrappy club.
And Cincinnati's not no pushover. I mean, they're not a good team, but they've been winning.
They're coming to play the Cubs.
Yeah.
So the Cubs are going to play at home tonight, go to Washington for one game, and then come back home for a weekend set against the Reds. I mean, it's absolute BS out of Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
It's a bad idea. Anyway, here nor there. I think tonight's game is pivotal, and the Cubs are losing 2-1 in the seventh right now as we tape this. I think it's impossible to forecast what's going to happen, but boy, you feel much better with a three-game lead than a two-game lead. That's an entire series.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, it makes it so that the Brewers have to out-duel you the rest of the year straight up. They got to win. They got to win three more times than you do. Like, they have to show that they're an absolute outright better team. When it's only two games, that's you just dropping a game, missing, getting rained out, and then winning both days.
But like, the problem is they don't have the Arizona Diamondbacks on their schedule. The Cubs do. The Cubs got to come to your hometown, Phoenix, Arizona, to play the Diamondbacks early next week. I think it's a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday set. You know, I mean, that's not an easy thing when the Diamondbacks are fighting for their lives as well. And then the Cubs go to the Chicago White Sox, so they're home for that. But then it's Pittsburgh and St. Louis to end the season. I mean, there's only 3 weeks to go here. There's not a lot of room for error. So this trip to Washington is a real ball buster for Joe Maddon.
Yeah, totally
agree. It's an issue. And then the news today, I don't know why I'm even going to talk about it, but Yu Darvish, who's out for the year already, had arthroscopic surgery on his elbow to clean out. Essentially, he took a bunch of crap out of his elbow.
Yeah, I mean,
bone spurs,
this is,
ligament fraying.
This is just another step on the way to having TJ way too late. I mean, that's what this is. Because this is putting duct tape on an injury that needs just a complete overhaul. You know, I mean, I really believe that. I don't think, you know, Matt Cain had this issue where he had bone spurs, and it essentially ended him. And if it's true that, you know, Darvish has stuff in his elbow and they had to clean it out and that's why he's had a sore elbow, it just seems like a farce to me. It seems made up. It seems like that's just kind of the cover-up story. And we're going to get to the end of the year, and then it's going to be, oh, well, he actually needed TJ, so now we're going to do that. And if that happens, I mean,
well,
that's just a straight mismanagement.
You won't know until the spring, because he's not going to throw until he won't throw 6 weeks at least. So he's going to be on a throwing program after that. So he's not going to throw a pitch of leverage until spring training. So you're going to have no idea if he needs TJ, but they're going to go in there and clean that joint out, and I guarantee you they're going to look at that ligament, which they have already, and they say it's intact and fine. But,
this is just the dumpster fire on the side. And I feel really like at some point you have to – you got to just come out and say, look, here's where we're at. This is what we're doing. And if this is truly it and all he's got to do is not throw for 6 weeks and then throwing program and he's fine, okay, I think that's a win. If you can have him 100% back next year, I guess that's great. But really would have been nice to have him right now.
Yeah, it would have. You wouldn't be throwing Mike Montgomery in Washington tomorrow, I can tell you that, because every game matters now.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. Speaking of pitching, the Boston Red Sox got both David Price and Chris Sale back. David Price was unbelievable tonight. And now Chris Sale's going to go Sunday against Jacob deGrom and the Mets.
Hell of a matchup.
That's a really important outing for them and for Chris Sale. If he gets out of that unscathed, who cares if he wins or loses? But if he comes out of that healthy, the Red Sox are running downhill the rest of the year. And they'll be very weary of his workload. So I think the Red Sox are in great shape. And you know, if you look around Major League Baseball, I mean, the way that the games are playing out at this point, I don't understand what's going on with the Dodgers, although they finally got a win today. Jock Peterson had another home run. But I look at teams like the Colorado Rockies, they're not able to capitalize. They're losing to the Diamondbacks tonight. I look at, you know, again, take the Dodgers for an example. You lose 3 of 4 to the Reds.
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
I told you the Reds are that team they're being spoilers this year. Being
that may
spoilers.
Be true.
Like they're just that team that's a pain in your butt, and they're gonna, you know, take victories off your schedule, and you know, that's who they're gonna be this year.
But David Price gets a 1-0 win against the Blue Jays. That's a quality Major League Baseball team. The Arizona Diamondbacks, beating the Colorado Rockies, those are two teams that are sputtering. That's why I say the Cubs coming to Arizona for 3 games next week, those are 3 games you should win. You should win that series 2 or 3. You're not going to win every game, but you should win 2 or 3 games from a team like Arizona that frankly has struggled for consistency.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the Diamondbacks are a team that, you're right, sputter is the right word. I mean, I've been saying, and we've been saying that, you know, they had a hot, you know, first 50 games, and they were this dominant team and got all the pitching they needed, and Buchholz ended up being a nice signing, and, you know, they had everything going well for them. And then every year it just seems that they run out of gas this time of year. Like
they've lost
just
7 of 10 to,
you know,
start September.
And so it goes all the way back to that wild card game. I trace this all the way back to that, you know, just not getting the job done. And I just think at the end of the day, you're right, the Cubs should come here and take 2 of 3.
And their schedule, by the way, the Arizona Diamondbacks, I'm complaining about the Cubs. The Diamondbacks are just every day it's a kick in the bag. I mean, it's another one with Colorado, then a weekend set at Houston. You come home without a day off to play the Cubs. Then the Rockies come in. Then the Dodgers come in. And then, oh, by the way, you got to go to San Diego to play a really pesky Padres team who, by the way, lost Luis Urias for the rest of the year today. But they even got a win today. I mean, there are no easy outs in the Dodgers' schedule. I don't know. That's why that or in the Diamondbacks schedule. That's why I said the Dodgers going to win that division. I mean, I would be. Why do you say that?
Because I wouldn't be surprised if the Dodgers let us down again. You know, go all the way back to the World Series.
Let us down again.
Go all the way back to the World Series. Dodgers, 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 Dodgers.
Doyers. Doyers.
Justin Verlander.
Justin Verlander.
Yeah.
The you know, the Rockies, though, by the way, Giants on the road. Listen to this trip. Giants, Dodgers, D-backs go home for four with Philly and then end the season 3 with Washington. Rockies, you're going to write your own check if you're the Rockies. Win some games, you're going to win that division.
Hey, I'd just like to say we had another almost no-hitter.
What, did he lose it in the third?
The eighth, I believe.
That's frustrating. Yankees, Greg Bird breaks up. Oh, wow, no kidding. How about Joe Mauer and the Twins?
Fascinating. He's at that point in his career where now the conversation is, well, how long are you going to play?
Well, he mentioned retirement today.
Yeah.
And, you know, just kind of reading the tea leaves, I think there's a lot of Twins fans who would be okay with that. And he's not the same player he was at the plate. He's a Gold Glove caliber first baseman. Now, you're not going to pay him $23 million a year, right?
I mean, that's like a guy who's got for a the big last name. 8 years. That's a guy who's got a huge name, and that's why he gets paid. And I always felt like Joe Mauer, you know, if he had gone to the Yankees, let's say, or just a big market team, he would have been so much more than he's been. You know, I always felt like him playing for the Twins forever really held him back. This is what we're going to be saying about Trout, because Trout's up for an extension as well. You know, so guys like Mauer, guys like Trout, who play for very, very average or below average organizations, they just get limited.
Well, it's tough in Minnesota to compete year in and year out. Yeah. You're not going to consistently compete at with their payroll levels. But Joe Mauer, I mean, I don't know how you don't give him a farewell tour. You know, do you not just throw $10 million at him?
Yeah, you should.
Make him let's say you even make him a platoon player. I mean, he's not Albert Pujols. He can still move. And he's a Gold Glove first baseman.
And he's still got value. There's no question. But I agree. I think Twins fans are just ready. They're ready for the next thing.
Yeah. Well, I just think that's it. When you're a superstar on his level and you're a hometown superstar and, you know, you're coming off of an 8-year contract. I think it was an 8-year deal. He's making $23 million a year. It's a lot of money. So that's an interesting little nugget there. Hey, before we talk iPhones and burgers, I do want to get to a couple NBA notes today. You really, really, really have to adjust your attitude on the greatness of one Lonzo Ball. Lonzo's worked very hard this offseason. Well, he's been sitting a lot because he had knee surgery, which we're going to get to in a minute. But he changed his shot. And it's a tweak. I wouldn't say he changed it. He's tweaked it so he's releasing in front of his face now instead of next to his left ear. That's a pretty big tweak for that guy. But you don't think it matters at all. You still think he sucks.
Okay, first of all, I never said he sucks.
Well, you said he's awful and he's a G League player and that his little brothers are better than he is.
No, you're getting it mixed up. I said that LiAngelo sucks. I'm saying that Lonzo's got a great ability, but I think the jumper is never going to be what it needs to be until he completely... I don't care. Like, going from your ear to the front of your face or to the right, just right of your face, even though your elbow is still at a just janky-ass angle, it doesn't matter to me. You're not going to have a consistent jumper.
But his hand mechanics have gotten much better. The problem is, and I don't know how... if you put four... Curl your thumb into your palm and put four fingers out. Right. And then you turn the top of your hand against your forehead. Right. And then you just sweep to the right. That was his release last year. There's no way that you're going to shoot more than whatever he shot, 27-30%. It's not going to happen. So now that hand is not turned and it's in front of his face and he's actually able to release going forward on a pretty consistent basis. And just watching the videos of him. And there's about a half a dozen videos of him shooting with that new release. I think it looks better. The more concerning issue is this knee surgery now. Everybody knew that Lonzo had knee surgery. I believe it was his left knee. He had injured the knee last year. He missed a good part of the end of the season. Knee's fine. Then all of a sudden, it's not fine. and he's going to have off-season surgery. And everybody was like, oh, God, now he's not going to be able to work on the shot and get in the gym and lift all them weights. And, well, it turns out he's been able to do all that. But it also turns out that the knee surgery was a hell of a lot more serious than anybody let on. He lost part of the cartilage in his knee. They could not repair it. And Russell Westbrook, who also had knee surgery, by the way, has had his cartilage repaired in the past and lost no explosiveness or quickness. When you lose cartilage, when they take cartilage out of your knee, it shortens your career. There's no question about that. This is a bit concerning. Now, you have Rajon Rondo on this team who essentially they play the same game because neither one of them can shoot, but they're elite passers and facilitators. So there's a backstop there. Let's say this knee thing goes completely sideways. But I really now wonder what you're going to get out of Lonzo Ball because he skips leg day, obviously. He's got twigs for legs to begin with. How concerned should Laker fans be? Because you hate Lonzo Ball.
I mean, I'm not drinking the juice on the guy. I think that's fair to say he's an elite facilitator.
Is that big baller brand juice?
No, it's not. No, it's G League baller brand juice. Look, I just don't. I'm not a Lonzo guy. There's no doubt about it. I think Tatum is absolutely devoured Lonzo. I think when you're having that discussion, I would much rather have Tatum.
Yeah, I think obviously.
Well, it's not obviously. They're both top five picks.
But wait, hang on. They also play completely different positions, and their games were always completely different. Lonzo Ball is an on the ball point guard. Jason Tatum is not. And I think, especially now with the way that roster is made up, you almost don't want Lonzo shooting in volume. He needs to be able to make it when they leave him. And that's the thing that he's got to get better at wide open threes because he's going to be wide open all the time.
Yeah.
Lonzo is much more evolved as a facilitator.
Yeah.
Because they don't ask Jason Tatum to do that. And I think that's an important thing. Jason Tatum is a polished scorer. He's a much better shooter. They're probably equal finishers at the rim because Lonzo's a guy that will dunk on you and he can actually finish at the rim. But the shot is what the difference is. So I kind of look at Lonzo Ball. Maybe it's more of a Markel Fultz comparison because Markel can't shoot, although they say he's really worked on his shot and Ben Simmons has really worked on his shot. You're not going to know any of this until we get to week one and Lonzo and LeBron are coming out together. And you're playing with guys like Lance Stephenson, who you want to talk about a guy working on his J. That's a guy who's just in the lab every single day working on that jump shot. The Lakers are going to be much better than people give them credit for. But if they want to be a 50-win team, which I think is a stretch right now today on what is today, September 12th, Lonzo is the guy that's going to make them a 50-win team or not. It really is that simple. Does he play a lot of minutes? Is he playing 30, 35 minutes a night? They're going to win 50 games.
Yeah.
If he's playing 25 minutes a night, they're going to struggle to win 45, 46 games. He's that important. He's that much of a difference maker when the ball's going in a hole. It really is that simple. Now, Russell Westbrook's a much different situation. So if you follow us on Instagram, Jake is the catless douche. I mean, the catless one. What does that mean, Jake? Oh, it's a car guy thing where you took the exhaust off your car, so you and Donald Trump are killing the atmosphere. Anyway, the point is, you can follow Jake on Twitter, the catless one, the number one, right? The catless number one. Or you can follow me, the Monty Show, and you will see that we follow all of the basketball coaches, so we follow all of the summer runs. So you knew that Devin Booker was hurt because he all of a sudden left a pickup game. That tape is on Instagram. And Russell Westbrook has been prominently featured playing a ton of pickup basketball. Then the news today came out that he had a maintenance arthroscopic knee procedure to clean out his right knee, which he had injured previously, like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Hasn't been an issue. Westbrook told the Thunder that he was playing pickup ball and his knee just started tightening up. There was no injury, and he looked quick. He's been dunking on guys. He's been shooting really well. He's looked really good. But all of a sudden, his knee started tightening up. And he said, listen, it's September. I'm going to have a clean out right now so that this is not an issue with the season. Only problem is the opening week of the season's now in jeopardy. Best case scenario is he's ready to go in 4 weeks, which is just short of opening night. Worst case is 6 to 8 weeks. Opening night is what, 6 weeks away now? There's a chance he can miss opening night.
Scary.
Big
sure.
deal, not a big deal?
Oh, it's a huge deal. I mean, he's one of the best players in the league. It's a massive deal. I think they're a team that has been chasing the Western Conference for how long now?
Yeah.
They're the team that everybody beats up on. They're the team that got, you know, that got beat by the Jazz. Like, they got a lot to prove this year.
It's
and Paul George,
Jazz, please.
Paul George made a huge mistake going back there, so now they have even more to prove. So I just think, like, overall.
It's still mind-numbing that Paul George went back to Oklahoma City.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Would you do that?
I don't know. But now I think when you consider Russell Westbrook could be out a week to start the season, it's probably not a big deal in the grand scheme of things, like for your season, but it's not good.
It's not insignificant, right? Let's just say that. All right. Make sure you follow me on Twitter, The Monty Show, MONTY, The Monty Show. Jake, let's talk Apple and iPhones. They had their big iPhone release event today. And just get ready to spend $1,000 if you want a new iPhone. Because the two best units are the iPhone XS and the XS Max. You can pre-order them this Friday, the 14th, and they ship the 21st of September. The XS is starting at $999 for 64 gigs. The XS Max is starting at $1,099 for 64 gigs. Both of them have this unbelievable A12 Bionic chip that, and I can't even believe I'm going to say this, the A12 Bionic chip brings the maximum capacity of the phone to 512 gigs and can perform 5 trillion operations a second. Like, this is a powerful, powerful phone, the most powerful iPhone ever. The XS is 5.8 inches, corner to corner, the screen size, and it's got the Super Retina OLED screen.
Yeah.
The XS Max is the biggest phone on the market at 6.5 inches of screen, and it's also got the Retina OLED. It's got 3D Touch and Face ID, so though everybody that was worried that those things were going away, 3D Touch and Face ID is available on the XS and the XS Max. Okay, you're also getting a 7mm front camera, a 7 megapixel front camera, a 12 megapixel dual rear camera standard. And what that 12 megapixel dual lens does is it almost eliminates blur. And here's the cool thing: it allows you to change the depth in portrait mode.
Mm.
So
finally,
when you want to blur the background, yes, and it allows you to change the depth of that, which I think is super cool. I love it. I just can't see upgrading to $1,099. I don't think I can spend that money. Not right now, because I have the X and I'm on a new every two. So to upgrade right now, I think it'd be $300. So a new phone, a new XS Max, that's the only one I would buy, frankly, would be $1,399 for me. And I just can't see spending that money on a new phone, especially now knowing, and there are some great features. The huge screen, I would love to have that size of a screen. I really like a bigger screen.
Yeah.
I really like the, you know, 5 trillion operations a second or whatever it is.
Pretty cool.
I like the A12 Bionic chip, the 512 gigs. You never have to worry about another video or picture. Like, I love all of that.
Yeah.
But I don't like the $1,399 price tag to me personally.
Yeah, it's a huge cost, a massive cost. And the thing is, for me, I'm still on the 7S Plus, and it's still going very strong. Still a great phone for me. And so that's why I just say, like, at some point, you know, like, if you were to buy that new phone for $1,300, like, that device should last you 5 years at least.
It should, yeah.
You know,
but I'm a gadget guy, so I want the latest and greatest. So I do trade my phones in on a pretty regular basis. I don't think I'm going to. Well, in fact, I know I'm not going to do it this time. By the way, there is one other model, the XR, the iPhone XR. $749 gets you 64 gigabytes. It's larger than the iPhone 8 Plus. The screen is. It's 6.1 inches, but it is an LCD as opposed to an OLED. It's an LCD, and they're calling it a liquid retina. There's no 3D touch. There is not a dual camera standard. It's a 12 megapixel, but it's a wide angle. It's a fisheye. And the front has what they're calling a 7 megapixel selfie cam. So the camera in this XR is a huge step down. It does have the A12 Bionic chip, but it really is... It's an 8 Plus. It's a smaller body with a bigger screen.
Yeah, I mean, it's a step down. I mean, it's the AAA version. You know, you're losing a couple key features. I think my favorite feature is the portrait mode thing. Being able to select and manipulate the depth is outstanding. I mean, I think when you look at what people can do with an iPhone or even some of the Android cameras are awesome too, but specifically with that iPhone, I think that's really a necessity at this point because people are using mobile phones like they would be a full-on camera,
Well, and really what these things are now, Jake, and we've talked about this because, you know, we work together a lot. These are computers. These are handheld computers. And when you look at the technology in these bionic chips, you're doing trillions of operations a second. I mean, that is a powerful, powerful unit. And it's really difficult to get away from all of this technology coming with a price. You're going to pay $1,100. You're going to pay $1,000 for a cell phone from now on.
Yeah.
Just get freaking used to that.
Well, the nicest cell phone.
I think it will not be long before any smartphone is $1,000. And there will always be the bottom feeder cell phones that don't have OLED screens and that are flat-based and you're not getting 3D touch or the bionic chips. There will always be the poor man's smartphone. And it'll still be close to $1,000. And I just think that's a lot of money. That is a lot of money. Are you an Apple Watch guy?
No.
Neither am I. I wear a Fitbit Ionic on a daily basis. I obsess over it, frankly. But one of the cooler things that they released today is the new Apple Watch. Ooh, one other iPhone thing. I'm sorry. The XS Max dual chip. So it's dual...
phone numbers.
Yeah.
Dual SIM card.
Dual SIM card. Thank you. I lost my mind. Dual SIM cards, so you can have multiple phone numbers on the same device. And it will, when it rings, it'll distinguish the two phone numbers for you. It'll tell you what line it's coming in on. I think that's a great feature as well. I wish they had... And I say this, and I'm an iCloud guy. Okay, so I use iCloud. I wish they had expandable storage. I wish you could dump a card into that phone and have expandable storage. But then with the iCloud, I think I've never had an issue, knock on wood, with iCloud at all. The storage is unbelievable. Multi-device storage. And I'm an Apple guy. This podcast is recorded every day on a MacBook Pro. I do almost all of my prep on an iPad Pro. Obviously, as I've said, I have the iPhone X. So, I mean, I am clearly an Apple guy. But, man, I wish there was some expandable storage of some kind. That's really the only thing that I think is missing. But, the people are into the Apple Watch, and I get it. And I know why people are fired up about it. But, you know, for me personally, I just have never gotten into the Apple Watch. I'm not saying they're not worth it because obviously everybody and their brother.
There's a lot of people that have them and there's a lot of people that really like them. And I totally get it. It's a cool little gadget to have. You know, if you don't want to get a Fitbit, like if you don't want to be, if you're not hardcore into fitness and you just want a smartwatch just to have it, like I totally get that.
Well, and there's the change right there. The Apple Watch today really upgraded the fitness part of their device with this, third gen Apple Watch. And I think it's cool. The heart rate technology that you're seeing in the Apple Watch is really cool. It's the best smartwatch that you can buy, they say, and CNET agrees with that. The problem with this new Apple Watch is that the battery does not last. And you are constantly charging that Apple Watch battery. It's one of the things I really like about the Fitbit. I only have to charge my Ionic once a week. They're saying that some of these Apple Watches in the Series 4, which by the way start at $400, so they're not cheap, are going to kill batteries because the display is much, much bigger and brighter. And it comes with an actual heart monitor that gives you an EKG readout. That's unbelievable.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, the
look, Apple's all about tech, right? Like, so they're always going to give you the biggest and best, and you're going to sacrifice either battery or maybe there's, you know, maybe you're sacrificing a little bit of performance, but you're still going to have that biggest and best, you know? And so they're going to figure out how they can, and this is what I always find fascinating about Apple. You can't tell me they didn't have this technology 5 years ago and they've just haven't been holding it.
Well, with the watches in particular, it's battery technology. Because what do you have in this new watch? You have things like a speaker now that you can play music out of on the watch. You have storage, you have brighter screens, you have this heart rate technology, again, that allows you to track your heartbeat much better. It gives you much better metrics for your workouts. Like, all of this Apple health stuff, all of this music integration, this new screen, a much faster processor to power all of those applications, and you still got to figure out a way to keep that battery from dying. And that's really what they're struggling with. They have no way. God dog it. The Brewers, Granderson just hit another home run. He hit a home run to lead off the game, and he's hit another one. Brewers are up 3-1. Damn it. I'll stop watching the Cub game, I promise. But you have trouble powering and keeping those batteries up to date. And frankly, it's cost prohibitive. It'll start at $399, but the LTE model, which is the top model, is $499. $499.
There's so much more I'd buy with it. You know, like, I just wouldn't buy an Apple Watch for that.
Yeah, I mean, look, the technology is fantastic.
There's a limit, though. There's always a limit, and that's definitely past my limit.
Yeah, well, there is a limit. There is, and the battery thing. In, I think it's a 30% larger screen for the Apple Watch, is what they're saying, and it just is. It's one of those things that I just can't do it. The Ioniq works great for me.
Yeah.
The only Apple device I do not own is an iWatch, and nothing that I saw today is going to change my mind on that.
Yeah.
And again, I'll say my wife, who is a superstar and knows me better than I know myself, offered to buy me one, and I said no. And I think I made the right decision.
There you go.
All right. Before we get out of here, let's talk about the best burgers, or I could break something because the Cubs are losing. Let's talk about burgers. We have had epic debates on this show about the best fast food in the country. The Harris poll, which is one of the leading pollsters in the country, put out their poll of the brands of the year, the best brands in the country. So things like the best coffee shop. What do you think the best coffee shop is? You're never going to get this.
Probably Dutch Brothers?
No, Krispy Kreme. Mm. Number one coffee shop is Krispy Kreme. People's favorite coffee maker is a Keurig machine. So stuff like that, greeting cards, Hallmark greeting cards. But then you throw in this little question about chicken restaurants. Chick-fil-A. Everybody's favorite chicken restaurant is Chick-fil-A. Amen.
I'm with it.
Amen.
I'm with it.
No-brainer. Now you also have everybody's favorite burger restaurant. Now, we've talked about this back and forth. I think one of the most overrated things in this country is In-N-Out Burger. And I know that people are probably freaking out. And if you're at work, you probably just slammed your fist on your desk and you're going to get a write-up and some demerits and you'll probably have to come in and do your TPS reports on Saturday.
You know, my biggest rub with In-N-Out is when I'm getting, when I'm going to In-N-Out, right? And I don't ever eat, I typically don't eat inside of an In-N-Out.
No.
It's a drive-through place for me.
Yes.
So if I'm going to In-N-Out, I just know that I'm going to have to sit in the parking lot and eat it. I can't eat it while I drive. And that really bothers me.
Yeah.
Now, Five Guys, that's not a drive-through place at all. So you go inside and you have yourself a nice meal.
You ain't eating a Five Guys burger while you're driving either.
No. Nope.
And if you do, you're going to die.
Yeah.
But what are your favorite burger places? So
Five Guys is number one. It's not even close for me.
I don't eat it In-N-Out almost ever. And being a California guy, I don't eat it In-N-Out. I just don't. I don't eat it Smashburger.
Nope.
If I want a burger, it's one, and it's fast food. If I want a burger, it's one of two places. It is a ultimate cheeseburger without bacon, ultimate cheeseburger at Jack in the Box. But my number one go-to is Five Guys.
Yeah.
And I have been routinely shaded for that. and told that I don't know what I'm talking about. And In-N-Out is this and that. No.
It's not.
According to the Harris Poll, America's favorite burger restaurant, Five Guys Burgers and Fries. Amen. Amen.
Easy peasy, bro.
Everything is right with the world. Easy peasy. Everything is right with the world. And you just keep going down and internet radio service, Pandora. Okay, cool, man. I'm an iHeartRadio guy, but okay, whatever you say. Major appliances, KitchenAid. You got to get out and live a little bit, my friend.
Cheap.
You got to get out and live a little bit. You know, then I'm like ice cream and froyo shop, Ben and Jerry's ice cream
shop.
Hell
yeah.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
Hell yeah, it is.
And then I stumble upon this little category called Mexican restaurants.
Oh, boy.
America's favorite Mexican restaurant.
Don't you dare say Taco Bell.
Is Taco Bell.
God. You know.
America's favorite Mexican restaurant.
I can't describe to you how disappointed I am in you right now.
I don't understand.
That is not Mexican food.
That's not. It's not. It's not food. No. And again, I'm a guy that loves a good Mexican pizza from Taco Bell. Other than that, there's not a whole lot worthy of, and people always are talking about like chalupas and cinnamon twists. I'm like, dude, look, listen, Mexican pizza, maybe a double-decker taco.
Maybe.
But nothing, like there's not a whole lot there. Like I'm not a chalupa guy. That's not Mexican food. Okay, now granted, I'm not going to Chipotle because, well, they're trying to rot your intestines out at Chipotle. But Cafe Rio, certainly
solid.
Cafe Rio has got to be in the conversation, right? I mean, and if we're talking about fast slash casuals, I mean, there's 101 better Mexican joints. I would go to Filiberto's. I would go to, in Phoenix, Carolina's, Backyard Barbecue. Like, there's a ton. Here, Taco Surf in Southern California, Taco Surf is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Taco Bell?
Yeah, disappointing.
Like, why don't you just throw in Del Taco for kicks? Come on.
Yeah.
Taco Bell. Get out of here. Pizza chain. Here's another one that pissed me off. America's favorite pizza chain. Blaze Pizza? Hello? I've never even
not
heard
a huge
of Blaze
fan
Pizza.
Of Blaze.
You know Blaze?
Yeah, there's one on Mill in downtown Tempe.
I don't know
not
Blaze Pizza.
Never
been there.
Don't waste your time.
Never been there. I've if I'm getting pizza, it's Costco, or like Rosati's is pretty good. You know, like if I'm doing, and these are all chains, so I'm not doing like mom and pops, but like I'm not doing Blaze. Who the hell is Blaze Pizza? No offense, Blaze. I'm not eating your pizza. But there's like, you know, other things that tablet computers, the Apple iPad. Amen. Absolutely. What do you think everybody's favorite television news channel is?
Fox News.
Wrong. The Weather Channel. The Weather
Help
Channel.
Help me.
Everybody's favorite television network.
Fox News.
PBS. PB freaking S.
That's
Video
rough.
Streaming subscription.
YouTube.
No. Netflix and chill.
Come on.
Netflix. For sure. Virtual personal assistant. That'd be Alexa.
Okay.
We can't say Alexa out loud because she's sitting right here. Hi, Alexa!
Hello.
She's lit up. She's not saying anything.
Lit.
Alexa, what time is it?
Okay.
She won't say anything.
Okay.
Now she's all pissed off. I ignored her. Sorry, I tried a bit and it didn't work. It's fine. Anyway, so there's a bunch of them. It's on my Twitter feed, The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. Is the way to go. The Cubs are on the verge of getting blown out by the Brewers. It is 3-1, top of the ninth, one out, runner on second. And yeah, it's not good. Kinsler's pitching for the Cubs. Lorenzo Cain's at the plate. He's about to go deep. You know, Cubs win or lose this game?
Probably lose at this point.
Thanks, I feel better. They're going to leave Wrigley Field. The Cubs are going to leave Wrigley Field tonight with a two-game lead.
I told you. They're going to win by less than two games.
I told you.
Bro,
they're not. They're not Tim Lynch coming the San Francisco Giants. So, I mean, you know, odd years, even years. You know, we do it every year. The Cubs never do it. Get it going. Anyway, yeah, make that a 4-1 Brewers lead. No, they stopped him at third. Okay, we got to end the show so I can watch a Cubs game. Make sure you find me on Twitter, The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. Say goodbye, Jake.
Goodbye, Jake.